Hey guys, this is Pastor Q on this week's episode. You're talking, but nobody's listening.
All right, welcome back to X with Q, a 10-minute podcast to help you lead healthy from ministry to the marketplace. My name is Brad, and as always, I'm here with Pastor Mark.
Come on, let's go.
All right, so listen, communicating is part of any major sphere of leadership, whether you're speaking to large crowds, small groups, you're leading meetings. You've been communicating, Pastor Q, for several decades on every level. Is there a silver bullet that you've learned over all these years for getting your message across?
I think the number one thing that I keep at the foreground of my mind is you have to know your audience. I would say if there's like one indispensable item or thing, who are you talking to? It's not people. You know, it's who are the people? What type of people are they? You know, age, demographic, but know your audience. That way, that's what I would say.
So what are some of the things that you're trying to look into as you're getting to know your audience?
I think I want to know who's in the audience. In other words, are they a combination of people between 18 and 40, 25 and 50? Because when I know my audience really well, it causes me to shape how I talk. Not talking. Everybody talks. Everybody is saying something, but I don't think everybody connects with everybody.
Right.
Just because I think the misnomer is because I'm talking, everybody's understanding. That's number one.
Or because you have a microphone, everyone's listening.
Right, exactly. Right. And two, it because I'm talking doesn't necessarily mean I'm connecting. It just really just means I'm talking. You know what I mean? I think communication, we forget, is a two-way street. It's what someone says and what did they hear.
For sure.
Because if you're saying, you know, obviously if you're married or in a romantic relationship and you turn around and think, I'm going to do this and say this, they're going to feel like I love them, but they go, what did you just say? You didn't connect. You didn't even communicate. You just talked.
Right.
And none of us want to do that. So knowing your audience causes you to laser word pictures, metaphors, examples, which are going to make you connect more.
Right. So what are some common mistakes that you see maybe communicators falling into when they make the mistake of not knowing their audience?
What I find is that I've listened to so many people. I love listening to people. I love picking up the way people talk or the way they try to connect or subject matter. I enjoy listening to people. But what I find is the common mistake is, one, they think the audience is like them. So if you're a data person and you love data, you immediately, the default is you think people love data. But depending on my audience, if I did the hard work of knowing my audience, they could care less. I mean, there are people that are wired a certain way that gravitate more towards numbers and data, but there's a lot of people who gravitate, who move away from that stuff.
Right.
So the number one assumption is because I like it, well, then everyone else is going to like it. And that's the number one thing I find. It's like, dude, you're spending too much time. You're talking to a creative, right-brained audience, and you're talking to us about how electricity flows through wires at a different rate.
Right.
I want to know what the electricity is going to create.
Yeah. So one of the common threads of scripture is that there's a lot of communicators. I mean, what biblical examples come to mind when you think about adjusting delivery or content based on knowing your audience?
Yeah, I think, I mean, clearly some of the best leadership examples you'll ever get out of the Bible. I mean, you know, and some of the best ways to communicate to people are actually the way people in the Bible, the authors, communicated to their audience. One example is the Apostle Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament. If you look at the way he writes to the Roman church, opposed to the way he wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, it's completely different He understands the audience. In Rome, he uses words like harsh, cold, very stern words. But then, because of course, he's talking to the Roman Empire, he's talking to the people in leadership, they're carrying swords and shields and armor. But then in Ephesus, he uses words that are very flowery, like lavished, and grace, and no one can love more than, and beyond things that you can imagine. He actually doesn't speak to the mind of the Romans. He speaks to their stature, and in Ephesians, he speaks to their heart. Mm. It's just two different languages, yet it's the same principle he's talking about, but he uses different words to get the principle across.
Right.
So here's how it plays out in everyday life. Listen, if you're leading your family, if you're leading a company, or you're leading a team out in a field on a project, who are those people? What age group? What are they? What do they gravitate towards the most? Some people are visual learners. You actually have to draw it on a napkin or a piece of paper.
Right.
Some people can connect the dots in their mind. All you have to do is give them pictures. That's what I think we're really connecting when we talk to people about what we want them to do, or we're trying to express an emotion, or trying to get them to understand something. It's just not information. What's the packaging that the information comes in? I mean, this being Martin Luther King Day, I mean, one of the greatest leaders of our time, of any time frame, really, and also one of the greatest communicators of our time. If you and I want to encourage all of our listeners to, especially today, go and listen to the "I Have a Dream" speech, which is a result of the March on Washington, and how he speaks. See what he does there. What Martin Luther King Jr. does there is he speaks of things that could be. So he uses language that opens up the mind. He uses language that says, "Look, we can achieve this if we come together. If we believe," whereas another speech or letters, the way he speaks, letters from Birmingham, so pointed, so direct,
very explicit examples.
He draws pictures for the reader or the listener, and he's just very pointed. It's almost like a rat-tat-tat, like a machine gun of all of these metaphors. At one point, he actually says how slow America is compared to the rest of the world. He calls the rest of the world moving at jet-like speed to embrace diversity, whereas America is like at a horse and buggy pace to allow an African-American man or woman to sit at a lunch counter.
Wow.
I mean, the difference of how he uses tone and speed in writing or speaking just speaks to the level of communicator that he is. And we have different tools to get our message across. I mean, it kind of goes back to what you don't want to do is just have one way to talk. Because if you really adhere to the value of know your audience, then you're trying to communicate in whatever way it takes to get your point across. There's this great story in the Bible with Moses, and a lot of people know Moses. I always do it in our church. I always go, "Whoa!" You know, he parts the Red Sea. You know, everybody kind of knows that deal.
Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston, right? He goes through the Red Sea, and all of a sudden the waters crash on the enemy. We all love that part. But what most people don't understand in the book of Exodus, where's one of the largest accounts of Moses' life, is that he uses different ways to talk to people. So he's getting the same point across, but he uses a different methodology. One time he talks and he says he observes this situation where there's abuse going on. And what he does is that situation requires force. So maybe not. I'm not advocating here, you being forced. But what I am bringing out is the principle of, look at the different ways he communicated a value. One, he realized he needed to use force. Another instance where he handles a situation is between two brothers, and he reconciles both of them by seeing their points and using words. So all of a sudden he's got, two ways to communicate. The third thing that you see Moses do is he uses no words and no actions. Everyone else around him was doing a certain thing, and he didn't do it. He just took a stand. And I think a lot of times, too, is sometimes in our silence and not, let's say, following the crowd or going with the flow or doing whatever, we are saying something.
You're still communicating.
But again, exactly right, because we think communicating is words. But already what we're finding together right now is communicating is different. I can tell you I love you and I'm mad at you, or I can tell you by not saying any words with my body language. So we have to remember, there's this great, great quote that one of my spiritual mentors, literally taught me years ago, and it's by R.D. Lang. And it says, "When the only tool you have available is a hammer, every problem presents itself as a nail."
Oh my goodness.
So in other words, sure. Well, if you think everybody is the same, you'll never change the way you communicate.
Thanks for listening to X with Q. For more leadership content, hit that subscribe button, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with a friend. See you next time.